Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, the finance minister's late-night decision a couple of weeks ago to scrap the planned VAT increase just days before it was due to come into effect has raised more questions than answers. So what does this mean, this U-turn mean for taxpayers, for businesses, and South Africa's already stretched public finances? And I guess what we should also be asking now is what to expect from a tax policy perspective going forward. Joining us to answer those and a couple of other questions is Thomas Laban, who is a master tax practitioner at Latita Africa. So, Thomas, let's start with the reversal, if we can, before we get into the nuts and bolts. Do you think this was simply poor fiscal planning or a political U-turn dressed up as policy flexibility?
Well, good to be here, Jeremy. And to answer the question, it's difficult to say. We try to veer away from the political side of things, but it does seem like this is something that could have been better handled and perhaps in better, with better participation by the parties involved in the GNU. At the end of the day, the reversal is something that will be lauded far and wide, and whether that was clumsily done or correct to do so, that remains to be seen. I suppose the value of the rand is what should tell you the answer to that.
The reality of the situation, of course, is that we now have a 15 up to maybe 20 billion rand hole in the budget. And that is raising questions about where the money comes from, if not value-added tax.
Of course, and some estimates even go up to 75 billion rand. I think what's lost in all of this is the power of SARS. SARS has been allocated a further budget and has a history, at least in recent years, of pulling rabbits out of its hat and making good on its promises when it's been better resourced. We respect the commissioner and his steer for SARS, and we're hoping that they'll be able to make up the shortfall, whether it comes from VAT or income tax or other areas. It's no secret that South Africa does have a chronic tax compliance problem, and one surmises that when you attack that better, you deal with the further ills that come from shortfalls in revenue.
So that's the wider policy paradigm. Let's pivot now to your area of expertise. And Thomas, from a tax practitioner's perspective, this surely is disruptive now to backtrack on a revenue policy just days before implementation. What practical consequences are you noting?
Well, firstly, there's legislative. We need to remember that this is law that has been passed. So a reversal would require feasibly a full parliamentary process undertaken, which is incredible. I've certainly never seen this done in such a quick turnaround. There is, of course, also the controversial court case that has been found in favor of the applicants that regards Section 7.4 of the VAT Act unlawful. And requiring changes there. And perhaps you could steer me better with the question, Jeremy, to give you a better answer. But practically from a business perspective, either you'll have on businesses not implementing the changes, they'll have to make no changes at all, or if they have communicated an increase in the VAT rate, they'll be charging further communication to reverse that, which many of us have already seen. However, we do sympathize with those larger businesses that have had to incur further expense and highly urgently to re-update systems that have had to be adjusted for the new VAT rate.
And of course, customers themselves need to be very vigilant about those changes to see whether that reversal is being reflected, surely.
Absolutely. The problem with VAT is that it's not often that you can simply reimburse somebody who has paid too much VAT. If you think about a grocer, how is a grocer supposed to find each of its customers that has paid too much VAT? So ultimately, that responsibility will fall on the consumer.
And in that respect, then, it also sends out a very opaque and difficult message to business owners and, I guess, chief financial officers who are trying to plan around long-term fiscal certainty. Again, this has upended everything, hasn't it?
It's very difficult, and it does not send the strongest signal of stability. But one hopes that this is merely a bump in the road with the smoother ride afterwards, given the lessons learned along the way.
So, Thomas, what advice now are you giving to your clients in terms of preparation going forward? I mean, for instance, has there been chatter around a personal income tax increase, given that we've pivoted away from VAT?
What you'll see there is less likely an increase in personal income tax and more a freeze in the rates as they are, resulting in bracket creep. Remembering that inflation does devalue a currency over time, if you pay the exact same rate of tax in terms of the same brackets this year as opposed to last year, in proportion to your purchasing power, you are paying more tax. But we're highly unlikely, in our view at least, to see further increases in the corporate income tax rate, the personal income tax rate, and any income taxes at all.
But there is an inordinate amount of pressure now on the South African Revenue Service, and maybe starting to quietly tighten the screws elsewhere, maybe through increased audits, maybe tighter enforcement to make up for that shortfall. And as we discussed a little earlier, anywhere in the region of 15 to 75 billion rand.
It is a very difficult balancing act that SARS must now follow through with, because on one hand, it is more critical for SARS to collect, which, as you say, one would expect increases in audits, more robust enforcement in many cases. But at the same time, it's still important for SARS to pay attention to its PR. SARS must not, should not be seen as the villain, but given stronger investigation and enforcement measures taken, it's difficult for that not to be the case. So we don't envy the commissioner. I'm sure very few do, but we're very hopeful that they will follow through in recouping the shortfall.
Do you think, and this is a final question to you, Thomas, that there is a trust issue now? So we've had this reversal. Could it conceivably undermine trust in the government, in Treasury's ability to stick to a credible rule-based tax policy?
Good question. And we're uncertain. On the one hand, this is something that would inevitably shake investor confidence in the South African fiscus. But on the other hand, pundits have commented that this is a good test of the GNU and something that, as I'd mentioned earlier, possibly shows the lessons that are being learned in real time, so-called teething pains. The view that we cautiously hold is that we will see things run more smoothly in future. But again, this is something that has shaken our climate right now.
I'm going to leave it there with my thanks, Thomas Laban. Thank you indeed, Master Tax Practitioner at Latita Africa.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.